Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Liquid IV. When you hydrate with Liquid IV, you're powered by HydraScience. HydraScience is Liquid IV's science-backed formula with an optimized ratio of electrolytes, vitamins, and nutrients. Experience great-tasting hydration for mental clarity, physical endurance, and overall well-being. Sip into something that up-levels every moment. Liquid IV. Tear. Pour. Live more. Visit us at liquidiv.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Oh. I'm all man when it comes to the crust.
Yeah.
SpaghettiOs is a soup.
Wow.
I'm a man of many earth tones.
Oh. I think Cheerios are still hot.
Cheerios are hot, babe.
Ooh.
It's like an avocado. It's raw.
The deuce.
Tully sounds like he's got walking pneumonia.
Mm. You know what? It's a fair question what I've got exactly. Because we dusted off one of ye old COVID tests, and that was fine, but I can't even remember, like, I remember the first time I had COVID, I just, like, had COVID, and then the second time I had COVID, I was like, oh, yeah, like, I kind of knew before I took the test. I was like, it's kind of like a cold, it's kind of like the flu, but it's got its own little zazz. Like, I'm pretty sure this is COVID again. This time around, I can't remember what it was the second time that made me sure, that reminded me of the first time, but I don't think I've got that same reminder this time around, and yet everything else about, well, as I say, I passed the COVID test, which was, this is several days ago now, but it is COVID-y in the regard of, I've never gotten that terrible, but I also can't get better. You know what I mean? I was taping a show earlier today.
Yeah.
I started a show today and I started sweating from talking for too long. You know what I mean?
Like, were you talking so hard? Were you talking the way you rock?
I pod like I rock, 1/4 mile at a time. And then I'll just walk up a flight of stairs. Wait, why are you?
I doubt you know this. Every woman in the world knows this brand, Ray Dunn. It's a non sequitur. It's a Marshall's brand. I'm actually kind of surprised you don't know it.
Wait, is it Ray Dawn?
Dunn.
Oh, because Ray Dawn, that Ray would be, oh, Ray Dunn. I see.
Yeah, have some respect. Okay. Have some respect for your elders.
Because Ray Dawn would be Tommy Chung's kid, and it would be so perfect for Marshall's to be featuring a line from Ray Dawn Chung.
It would be kind of great. Also, Ray Dunn is also the short way of saying hi to Ray Donovan. Anyways, bye. Thank you. Everyone, I hope you enjoyed this episode.
I think Ray Don was also what everybody was afraid their kids were going to die of before they realized they'd all chosen to put asbestos in their basement.
And also, Ray Dung is the name, ironically enough, mm-hmm. of the scientist who leaked COVID into the world.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's a scientific fact.
So I got beef with Ross today, and you're the only person I can talk to.
I do too.
All right, you go first.
I have beef.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, my beef is kind of embarrassing because you're gonna be like, I'm an OG Ross, I knew this. My beef
I'm a Rastafarian.
Oh, God help us all. God help us all. You know, when you go into a Ross,
mm-hmm. the smell hits you first. I love the smell.
It smells like dust and candles.
I love it.
Love it. Can't get enough of it. But I was in there and this person was like, hey, welcome to Ross. And I'm like, oh my God, thank you. And they kind of smiled at me and I'm like, oh my God, they must know me. Like, this is so crazy. Mm-hmm. And then the next person walked in. They were like, hey, welcome to Ross. And I was like, you cheater.
Yeah.
I thought I was spiritual.
No, no, no. You're tripping, bro. We had this convo. They have a really strong greeting game. A really, it's like abnormal. Like they, like Nordstrom tries to make you feel as special as Ross corporate mandates the employees make you feel. And I have no idea why. It is like security guards that have like flame neck tattoos going up behind their ears are like, hello, welcome to Ross. It's so fucking amazing. I don't know how they pull it off because I would love to believe that people who work at Ross are like highly compensated, but I kind of doubt it.
I'm just dying because Deb's in the Zoom.
Yes.
And she's got my dog on her lap, and if you guys heard her, she said, hey, Chippy, but you probably won't hear it because we won't use the audio, but it made me laugh so hard because I could just hear her going, hey, Chippy. Oh, I almost wish we could use that. Anyways, I didn't realize we had spoken about Ross greeting. I don't think we had because I was in shock.
You know, just finished relating to you a compliment from one of our dear longstanding OG listeners, Marion, about how
Marion
has she made a lovely contribution on
basically in support of the cause, which is so sweet of her.
Of Alzheimer's, yeah, and then she also said that, you know, we give ourselves a hard time for thinking we're repeating ourselves all the time when we're really not that bad with it. But we
aren't. Other people are worse.
Do you observe that? thank you. That's a little video Easter egg for anybody who happens to be watching the video exclusively. I swear, I feel like I've gotten to that stage of, like, do you know who Jonathan Winters is?
Of course, he's a freaking legend.
Okay, I feel like I'm, like, the homeless man's version of Jonathan Winters. Like, I know exactly the kind of old man I'm going to be, and when I get sick, I already slip into it, where it's, like, you're just animated by this jolly spirit of, like, gesturism and frivolity, but your brain is just no longer firing off like it was when you were 27 years old with like joke. So you're just sitting there going like making little faces at babies and stuff. Like like where he got at the end where I'm watching a kid, I'm like, why is this so funny? And it's like, you gotta know him. He's just this guy's hilarious. He doesn't really need to be funny anymore to be hilarious. Just him being is so goddamn funny. I'm at the point where I'm like, I can't be counted on to actually string together coherent sentences. So while you talk, I'm just gonna make fucking Bill Cosby pudding faces over here.
Also, I love that we're talking about Jonathan Winters. I don't even know how many people will know who he is. This guy is elderly. I mean, he died years ago.
Yes, but
he lived for a pretty freaking long time. He was a old dude, and also from the Johnny Carson era. Well, wait,
that's where I think first of him.
Right, yeah, from that whole era.
And Mork and Mindy.
Oh my God, Mork and Mindy! You know they kept bags of coke all over the set for Robin.
You don't say. I think Pam Dauber may have gotten in those a little bit.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I could put the camera guy probably got in him.
But I'm saying if you look at a lot of the women who were on TV in the late 70s, early 80s, like I think Pam Dauber's lunch was a sandwich that was two saltines with a spread of cocaine in the middle of it.
I mean, add a little cheese and some jam and I'm there with you, minus the cocaine. I've never done cocaine.
Yeah, and I don't think Pam Dauber was eating much sugar. My point is that she was very, very thin.
No, yeah, she was a little thin little lady. Yeah. But wait, before we get too far off of this.
Yeah. I'm not done ranting about Ross. Go.
Okay. Well, you continue. Go ahead.
Ross ruined Christmas.
What?
Yeah. So I knew, like Icarus, Jesse, I flew too close to the sun. I knew I was getting greedy. I was there. There I was shopping for Christmas presents for both of my children and my wife, as one does.
Okay.
$47 later, Christmas was done. I really hope my daughter likes black Barbies because she's getting three of them.
Wait, why was black Barbie on sale?
Because, I mean, I don't know if it's that... Okay,
it's
I mean, so rude. No, no, no.
Okay. It's just so rude.
No, I have,
not you.
I have some
people in general.
I have some theories about this because I see the toys that make it to the outlets. We're big outlet shoppers, and I think that the world is so woke and so lit and so like Disney would rather make. Like Disney makes a movie where there's like cool new Darth Vader guy who's got the red lightsaber and the black mask and like every kid wants that. And then there's like some dumpy chick who's like the fourth most important protagonist, good guy, rebel. But like she's a person of color and she might be queer or whatever. And it's like there, it doesn't matter that she's a person of color or that she's queer or whatever. She's just not as compelling to 5-year-old boys as the guy with the red lightsaber is. They know damn well they're going to sell 300 toys of the new Darth Vader for every one they sell of her. And yet it is so obvious to go to all the outlets, the Disney outlets, the Rosses, what have you. They're making a fuck ton of the action figures of the characters of color. And I think they've actually decided they don't want the word to get out. Oh, did you know Disney made like 1 million toys of the white guy and only made like 50 of the black guy? I think they would literally, I think they bake it into their business model now that they need to make a ton of those that they know that they'll never sell just to cover their ass. So when you go to every, like, and not to say that there's never been a, has there been a cool non-white, I mean, Samuel Jackson was a fairly cool non-white character in Star Wars. Not to say it couldn't happen. It doesn't have anything to do with blackness, but like they
tap into the force, motherfucker.
Right. Exactly. They make, there, in my experience, going through like white areas and non-white areas, it's the same in both places. You see a lot of leftover toys of the characters of color as opposed to the white characters.
Yikes. Yeah, and Christmas just got dark.
And luckily, like my daughter is, she's super colorblind. You know, she's half non-white, and she's got a bunch of friends of every, you know, color of the rainbow. So she's totally chosen to buy non-white toys, this one, that one, whatever. So it's not like she's going to be like, what the hell? Like, let's face it. When we were growing up, if you were in the suburbs in Wonder Bread White, New Jersey, and somebody just gave you like a black Barbie for Christmas, you'd be like, hold on, what? You know, you wouldn't be like offended or burn it, but you'd be like, really? Why? In her world, that's not a weird thing to get. I'm just wondering when she gets four of them and none of anything else. Is she gonna? I think she's going to be just like, hell yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah. But I'm just kind of curious to see her reaction because I didn't go to Ross looking for the non-white LOL surprise doll and the non-white Barbie makeup supreme pack. That's just what they had.
Are you, you know, I think she'll just be fine. She'll just use the perfume you got for her, the adult perfume you bought for her.
Oh, so I know I got, that's funny you mentioned that. I wasn't
You even, got that from Ross as well.
I wasn't
so
even,
you just buy everything for your family from Ross?
Yes, that, I think I've made that abundantly clear, but that's not how Christmas got ruined. So no, I forgot I also bought her she'll love this. So she has the Elsa and the two frozen bitches. She has their perfume. I also got her the Princess and the Frog one, who is Tiana. She's the black princess.
Oh, she's a cute little black princess. She's
yeah, no, my chick's all in on Tiana. Tiana's cool. I'm cool with Tiana as well. But that's not me spending $47 for all of my family's Christmas gifts in one trip to Ross is not what ruined Christmas. That was going to make Christmas.
Oh, I beg to differ.
That was going to make Christmas great again. What happened is,
buddy, stop.
I don't even know where your dog, I thought it was my dog that was barking.
Wasn't that Bunny? Am I imagining stuff, Deb? Is it Bunny? In my bedroom.
There's three people on this Zoom and every one of us has a dog sitting next to us. This is...
We can't even be alone.
Was that my dog?
That was your dog.
Okay, good. All right. Because I'm telling you, this is where I think like I got to take another COVID test. Like I have COVID brain. Like
What's that?
I'm
literally, it's under your table. Who was that?
I swear to God, that's where I'm at, Jesse. I'm sweating again from podcasting. So the way Ross ruined Christmas.
We got it. That's the title. sweating to the podcast.
Yeah, dude, I got the pod sweats. I got the pod sweats. So I got greedy, and sure, I could have bought my kids the $16.99 gingerbread house at Trader Joe's, but Ross had the $11.99 Oreo cookie gingerbread, not gingerbread, Oreo cookie house.
And that's just wrong. That's where I draw the line.
You know what? It turns out there's a lot more structural integrity to gingerbread than there is to Oreo wafer. And
yeah,
every single... I broke it out last night and I was like, Merry Christmas. We finished decorating the tree and I was like, and now the coup de grace, have at it, kids. Every fucking Oreo wall in the Oreo fucking house came out broken.
And let's hope that's not a metaphor for your actual home.
It's a metaphor for Ross. I got greedy.
Oh, don't blame Ross for your poor choices.
Dude, that's like buying... But if my poor choice was buying something at Ross, I think they share some culpability. It's like buying medicine at Ross and being surprised if you die.
I would buy medicine at Ross.
I know you would. So would I.
I went to Ross to return something.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm not going to... I bought more stuff. You know what my move is? I buy stuff I don't really, really want because then I have a return and then I have to go back.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, oh, I got to go back. I have a return.
Yeah. My wife is getting some sweet Christmas booties from us.
I'm sure she can't. She's not even going to know what hit her when she opens that gift. Do you really, is that everything you get from Ross?
No.
Because I know...
Yeah,
I think you might have mentioned that your wife is a better gift giver than you.
I don't think I said that. I'm a terrific gift giver. But you know what I can't do? I think I'm...
I just started a fight in the household.
I think I'm really... How should I say this? I'm really, really good at like picking up clues and, you know, the low-hanging fruit of like if somebody says, oh, one of these days I really want to get a blah, blah, blah. I'm making a note in my phone at my first opportunity. I have a little Google Doc for these things. So 6 months later, that's just not... That's not hard. And I think I'm good at like the next level of like, you do this a lot and people who do that, I understand. I'll do some homework. Oh, you're doing a lot of gardening in front of the house. Let me find what the ultimate gardening tool is. Like, but I can't invent it. I think some people are just amazing that they can like go to a thrift store and just find something. You're like, I didn't even know I wanted that. Oh my God. I'm not quite that level of gift giver, but I've given some pretty good gifts over the years. I would like to think, the thing is, for my son just wants, he's to the big stuff. I'm going to stop just holding tissues in my hand like an 85-year-old lady now. My son's like, I want a phone. I want a guitar. Like, Ross can't help him anymore. You know what I mean? And the way
they sometimes have some stuff in there, but yeah, you're right.
They do. Yeah, they do have phones and they do have guitars. He's smart.
They're plastic.
He's smart enough to not. Yeah, no, I literally almost bought my daughter a Carlos Santana model battery operated keyboard for $25. So I
want that.
I'm more than, well, they've got several of them at every Ross location. It's right next to the black LOL dolls. But the wife and I have agreed to just like, let's do something fun together. Let's like go away overnight or, you know, like we're not buying each other. Neither of us really needs like a big thing from each other. So we're just buying each other shit. Like Ross will actually suffice. Right. For my daughter, it's more that we finally had the aha realization that like she does want the stuff, but it's just sort of, it's the fun of opening it. Like there's no distinction for her between opening the new Barbie that's on sale at Target for $25 versus the one that was last year's model that was that's now at Ross for $10.99. So, and we had the conversation with my son, like, just so you know, there's going to be way more shit for her under the tree than there will be for you because her shit collectively costs $60 because we got it all at fucking Ross. You know what I mean? And she'll be happy. We're saving money and she'll be happy. So everybody wins here. She has too much shit as it is. So we don't feel great about just bombarding her with more stuff that actually costs money.
There was this really great article. This is what this makes me think of. David Sedaris, who's been a regular contributor to the New York Times for years, had an article that I think was extracted from 2015 that they just resurfaced because it's topical. It's about holidays and shopping and how him and his siblings share their love of shopping. and the terrible things that they buy. But he said something like, you know, for me, the shopping part of that, I just like to go out and be in the store and touch the items and talk to the cashier. Like, it's a whole culture. It's not just going and getting things. It's like the whole event of going out and getting things. And I will tell you one thing about Ross Dress for Less, Marshalls, TJ Maxx, Home Goods, and all the like. If their lighting was better, I would stay longer. I don't know why they have such horrific overhead morgue lighting. If they were smart, it's not like they need help with business. I'm sure they're doing fine. But corporations like that always want more money. They should put the lighting a little bit softer, get a DJ, and get a bar. Put like an, you know, hell, open up some of the stuff they have in the shop and make a little mixology corner where there's, you know, a local bartender and a little DJ. Basically, I just want to party at Marshall's, TJ Maxx, and Ross Dress for Less a little bit longer than I normally do.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Jesse Mayer, are you the kind of person who buys yourself Christmas presents?
For sure. I love myself.
Well, this year, why not love yourself by buying yourself the gift of loving yourself with some therapy from BetterHelp? You don't even have to. Look, BetterHelp cares. They want you to buy stuff. Of course they want you to buy stuff. They want to help you. They want your business, but they just want you to be happy. Go to BetterHelp, use our code, get 10% off. But if you can't do that, just love yourself. That's what BetterHelp wants from you. Take a me day at some point over the holidays. Your family, you love them. At the same time, they are deeply annoying. You're going to need to decompress before and after spending time with them. Do that and or go to BetterHelp.com.
That's right. And if you guys are thinking of starting therapy, which I highly recommend after a holiday season, things get heightened and hot. Give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, just like that weird aunt who does splits on the holiday party, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Super easy. You need it. We all need it. It's the season of giving, so give yourself what you need with BetterHelp. You guys can visit BetterHelp.com/deuce, D-E-U-C-E, today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/deuce.
Let's think this through, because obviously if they, the more money that they spend on anything, they undercut the entire purpose of Ross, which is of course dressing for less and being a Maxinista. But they could theoretically, like, they could do like, you know what they should do? They should go to like all of the, they would never let them, but like the Grove and, you know, all the Caruso properties and the promenade in Santa Monica. And they should do pop-ups that are like Ross, but like with an umlaut over the O, and do everything that you're saying, just as like flagship Ross's.
They should, and have it be a party.
Well, because people would buy. Drunk people at Ross would make some real mistakes.
Do you remember the photo of that woman that circulated of her at like a Marshalls or TJ Maxx, and she had a glass of wine in her hand? Did you ever see that?
Yes, for sure. People send that to me in reference to you all the time.
No, they don't. Are you serious?
Hell yeah.
You know, it's just, you remind me of like, oh, what was her name from Mama's Family? Fucking
Mama?
Carol.
Oh, Carol Burnett?
Yeah.
Well, Vicki Lawrence was Mama's Family.
Vicki Lawrence. Yeah. It was Vicki Lawrence.
Oh, damn.
She was so funny.
Yeah, it was weird. Carol Burnett just went and found her own like replacement.
Hell yeah. That's how you have to do it. You gotta do it that way.
She just found Vicki Lawrence and she's like, you are a young me. And then put her on the Carol Burnett show, right? And then I think Mama's Family was a sketch on that that they made its whole own show, right?
Walking pneumonia.
I really do. I forgot all about that show. We've been weirdly going back through some like forgotten shows of yore. These are probably a little too old for you, but we watched a couple episodes of Benson. And then
never fucking heard of it.
You would like Benson. And then just this weekend, we watched the first couple episodes of Taxi.
I mean, of course, I remember I don't remember Taxi, but I know of Taxi. I mean, the Fonz is a classic American character.
That's, and that's, you're thinking of Happy Days.
See? I don't know.
Wow. Taxi.
Wait. Mm-hmm. Taxi. Wow. So I had it complete. Wasn't Kramer in one of those? Michael Richards?
No, I don't know what he was really doing, because he obviously wasn't young when he...
Who was Taxi? Tony Danza?
Tony Danza actually was... I think he was a character early on. I don't know that he was there through all the core years, but I was surprised because I thought that they worked him in later. Like, I thought of Taxi as being more of like a Cheers, where they had this amazing original cast, and then they also successfully mixed in, you know, the Kelsey Grammers and the Woody Harrelsons and what have you. But Tony Danza was there from the start. It's actually really interesting because in the original episode, it's like all the characters you know and love, and then this one guy who's just like awful and wildly out of place.
Danny DeVito's who the fuck I was thinking of.
I mean, it's amazing to watch because the whole time DeVito is, it's in a taxi garage and he's the dispatcher. And so he's like in this cage barking orders at people. You do this, you do that. And the first time he's in an argument with somebody and he walks out and he walks down the stairs, everybody laughs. And I'm like, oh my God, I think everybody watching this in like 1977 just found out that Danny DeVito is like 4'3". Because I think they set it up as a joke that he's standing in there. You don't realize how small he is until he comes out. Like, oh my God, there was a time when it was a joke to learn that Danny DeVito was so small. But it's Judd Hirsch, Andy Kaufman,
Mary Lou Henner.
Yeah, it's great.
Christopher Lloyd.
So Christopher Lloyd got added later, I think, probably when Andy Kaufman leaves. Christopher Lloyd becomes the new, basically the wacky neighbor, the Kramer who just pops in and out and does some silly stuff. Because
Rhea Perlman, Carol Kane. Yeah. Carol Kane was awesome. I loved Carol Kane in Scrooge. She plays the fairy.
Yeah, that is
so good in that.
That's like a Christmas tradition for us around here.
Oh, I love Scrooge. I feel like they should get Scrooge redone. Bill Murray's getting older. I co-sign on them doing a rendition of Scrooge. I co-sign on them doing a rendition of Groundhog Day.
Mm-hmm.
I just rewatched Groundhog Day, which is such a good movie. Here's a fun little movie trivia.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how long that character, Phil, was trapped in Punxsutawney?
I do not know.
Do you know how long he relived the same day?
10,000 years.
Well, that's aggressive. 33 years.
Really?
He was stuck in Punxsutawney.
And how did they figure that out?
You know, movie math.
I see.
I think it was a part of like the original story.
Oh, I see.
Is that he was stuck there for a chunk of time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're talking about all this. You said something that stuck in my head that made me think of something. You talked about the type of old man you'd be.
Mm.
Do you think you would ever be the type of old man that Mick Jagger is?
That's a really good question.
Mick Jagger's 80.
Yes.
And recently had a photo circulate with his girlfriend, Melanie Hamrick, who I don't know who she is. I think she just might be a civilian. 36 years old, mm-hmm. celebrating their son's 7th birthday. Do you think you'll ever be the type of man who's 80 years old with a 7-year-old?
Oh,
with
a
36-year-old wife?
Okay, well, those are two very different questions. No. Well, having already had a vasectomy, it's going to be pretty challenging for me to father any children moving forward, even if I would have been able to.
You can retape that thing.
No, I know you can. I understand that is absolutely brutal, but I know it is an option. I know at least two people who were like, never again. Oh wait, so yeah, and I do not hear good things about the reverse vasectomy experience, and I didn't love the original vasectomy experience. No, I have a really conventional take on, you know, having kids that you're not going to be around when they grow up. I think I don't care how much money you can provide people. I know plenty of people who grew up with love and attention without money who turned out right. fine. And I know plenty of people who grew up with money and without love and attention who are awful and know that they're awful. So no, money's not only gonna go so far when Mick Jagger's. I mean, then again, Mick Jagger, like, when do you think he's gonna die? Because I think as long as you're going to be here...
I don't think he is.
I think as long as you're going to be here...
I think he's a part of a CIA, like, experiment.
I think if you could guarantee... And none of us can guarantee anything. I can't guarantee this to my kids, of course. Sad, though, it is to realize. If you can guarantee you're going to be here until they're 25, and you're going to be involved in their life... And I think a lot of these guys were absent when they had their, like, quote-unquote real kids and are trying to make up for that now. So I think sometimes the 75-year-old dad is more hands-on than he was when he was a 35-year-old dad, because that's when he was making his bones. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't imagine it. I think it's wrong.
It's so strange.
It's hubris.
Mick Jagger, he's got a few sets of kids. He's mm-hmm. got like four sets of kids with four different women, all ranging from the age of 7 up to his eldest child is even too old really to be dating his wife now.
Yes. Jesse, you can fact check me on this, but I believe as of a few years ago, he's a great grandfather.
I think he might be a great grandfather.
I believe he's gotta be. That. Yeah.
He's a great grandfather. His eldest daughter's 53. His current wife is 37. I'm not an ageist. You know, I'm somebody who, doesn't like the whole idea of putting an age limit on anything, but this is just, to me, It's the one part of how being a man is so different in this world mm-hmm. where like an 80-year-old man can pull a 35, 36-year-old woman. An 80-year-old woman can pull a 35, 36-year-old man, but there's only one woman in it, Cher. No one else can. Cher's the only one.
Well, the other ones who can get gay men and or lowlifes who are like, okay, as long as, how many hours a day do I need to be there and how much money do I get?
It's just ridiculous. It truly is.
Yeah.
It just seems so wrong. Just the fact that his wife is so young and maybe they're really in love.
Maybe.
But would she choose him if he weren't Mick Jagger? If he was just Mick Johnson, who owns a fish fry? In England?
Excuse me.
Oh, God.
You know, I think about that sometimes. It's people who, like, marry... Like, to marry somebody who's super wealthy, who inherited the money, it's like, yeah, would you be there if they didn't have all that money? Probably not. But to marry somebody who has a bunch of money, not to say that Mick Jagger's just a rich guy. He's obviously more than that. Who made their own money, it's hard to separate the money from being the guy who was able to make the world bend to his whims that allowed him to get all that money. You know what I mean? So it's like, if he just had a fish fry place, he wouldn't be Mick Jagger, because Mick Jagger is so charismatic and talented, he was never just going to be the fish fry guy. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if somehow, some way, Mick Jagger lost all of his money, he would still do far better on the dating scene than the average 80-year-old bachelor, because he's just still fucking Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
Can I ask, what are we talking about when we say ageism, really?
Like, what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't like for your age, that whole ideology of, oh, they shouldn't be doing this for their age. She doesn't dress appropriately for her age. He doesn't do this because, you know, for his age. I think we get so stuck into the way we should be at a certain age. Mm-hmm. Now, this is kind of excluding behavior, because we all have, you know, we grow up and we become adults and there's behavioral norms and societal norms as far as how we should be towards one another. That's excluded from this. I'm talking about, you know, oh, that she shouldn't dress like that. She's too old to wear something like that. I just think that that's such a limited and limiting ideology and mindset. And I realize it might be hypocritical for me to say that and also be judging an 8-year-old Mick Jagger dating mm-hmm. this 36-year-old. Mm-hmm. I know he's got access to the best doctors and probably... I can't even imagine he cares about nutrition. I think that's what keeps him and Keith Richards going. They're not really doing the best. They're not drinking kale smoothies. But then again, maybe they have been this entire time, and that's how they've kept this longevity.
Yeah.
Maybe they're the one rock band that didn't do drugs, that didn't do anything, and they're able to sustain and stay alive. But I don't know that it's got to be hard to be attracted to an 80-year-old.
No.
That's the one thing I don't get.
I'm not trying to push back on that, particularly a guy whose face was sort of already like just a very large shrunken head when he was in his 30s, you know?
Yeah, his face looks like one of those rock people from Neverending Story.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, he is the craggiest motherfucker currently still walking. No, I know for a fact he gave up drinking and became a vegan years ago. So he definitely has been trying to prolong, and he obviously stays very, very thin. So he still looks like a rock star, but also just because it's easier on his body. The thing with ageism, I guess what sort of, I don't want to say triggered me about that word, what caught my ear about that is I saw an article earlier today about how states are starting to pass fat phobia laws.
What is that?
Or I guess it's not fat phobia. Like you can't, there's already been some, I honestly didn't read the whole article. Like there's already been some laws that it's like you couldn't, going back to like the 60s in certain states, like you can't just like somebody comes applies for an accountant job and it's like, hey, you're kind of fat. Sorry. No. You know, like that's already been on the books for a little while. But however you define it, it's becoming like a new protected class in the same way that like disabled people are a protected class legally, or you know, race is a protected class legally. And I'm like, where do you draw the line between not fat shaming people who could lose a couple pounds and encouraging people, glorifying people who are obese? You know what I mean?
That's a great question. I think we love to glorify it.
There's a line in there somewhere, and I'm not sure as a society we really know where. I don't think it's where it's where we all assumed it was 25 years ago, but it's not where the tip of the spear, the proponents of the fat positive movement, think it ought to be. We're gonna have to figure out where that lands. And it's the same thing with like ageism. Like Norman Lear, the great television creator, just died. He was 101. He was working until the very end. If Norman Lear had run for president, I would have felt entirely comfortable saying, yes, he seems like he's really firing on all cylinders, but I don't believe we should have a president who's 101 years old. You're too old for the job.
And that's fair.
And I'll be damned if you want to call me ageist for saying that. I think both.
Oh, no, that's not. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. When it comes to common sense, mm-hmm. No, that there's ageism is, there's a reason why 2-year-olds aren't driving cars.
Yeah.
There's, you know, but I'm talking about more like what we deem is appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, as far as like your attitude and your, how you carry yourself, how you wear, what you wear. And it's more of a statement about an individual's approach to their age than anything. And I also can't stand when people are like, I'm old, and they're like 50.
Yeah.
Really? Are you? People buy into aging like almost like a cult. And they're just saying things they've heard.
Yes.
They're repeating things they've heard. They become their parents. And, you know, it's just like, oh, my neck. Oh, God, I'm so old. I can't stand that. I can't stand when people co-sign on basically almost like slowly giving up.
Yes, agree. No, that's exactly. there's many things about life that I, yeah, exactly. When you,
it's a pet peeve of mine. It's like, really, 100%. Are you old?
Yeah,
are you that old? Because there's somebody who's same age as you who literally has no legs, who's an Olympian.
Right.
Are you old and tired?
Yeah.
You sure? Are you just fucking? Why don't you just be honest and just say what it is? You're fucking lazy. I wish I would have so much more respect for people instead of them if they were just like, I'm fucking lazy. Yeah, you're fucking lazy. There's people out here with a quarter of what you have doing 10 times as much. Not you, Tully.
No. I get that. again, just sort of regurgitating shit that I've seen online, a lot of people who ask this question about, like, do you feel old when you hit 40? I'm 40. I don't feel that old. Am I weird? Am I unusual in that regard? The consensus of people with informed opinions, you know, who have experience getting, you know, going up in age, seems to be what we used to equate with, oh, I'm getting old, that's why I'm creaky. Like, there's some people who do everything right and end up creaky and shit. Their body's just not built for the long haul. That's an unfortunate fact of genetics. But, like, on average, what people, if you're 70 and you're like, just the old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be, sure. If you're 38 and you're just like, oh man, my body, I'm old. No, you're not old. You've let yourself go. A person who takes care of themselves doesn't feel old when they're 38 years old. If you don't take care of if you don't take care of yourself when you're 38, that's what's going to happen.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.